السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، ثم أما بعد. For the Muslims, and this is just to begin with, believing in the Quran as a word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require any specific scientific actual miracle to make it true from Allah Azza wa Jal. As believers, we believe that the Quran has two types of signs, or basically the miracles of the Quran. Comes in the linguistic perspective, and these are the ayat al-maqru'ah. These are the vocal and recited verses and signs of the Quran. When you recite, you would see the beauty of it, and you would see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates miracles in form of words in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And second then comes these observed signs in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two concepts, or these two actually ways of showing the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being mentioned and included in the Quran, can be recited in a group of ayat. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ. And on the earth are signs for the certain in faith. Those who are certain in their faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can see these signs and miracles in that creation on the earth. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And in yourselves, then will you not see? So we come from the earth, and then from a specific creation such as us. And then he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. And in the heaven is your provision and whatever you are promised. So look at this now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, look in the earth. Look in this universe that is around you. All of this is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at it. And then now we zoom into one species in this whole creation, that's mankind. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And within yourselves, look at yourself. أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Don't you see? Don't you see the miracle in the creation of man? And then Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned about the livelihood of man, the livelihood of this whole creation. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. And in the heaven is your provision and whatever you are promised. Everything has a specific measure and balance coming from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those who deny, he said, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Then, by the Lord of the heaven and the earth, indeed it is truth, just as sure as it is that you are speaking. Just like you are certain when you talk, you can hear yourself. When you talk, you know that you're communicating information. You can make a message right now as you talk. Just as sure as you are that you're doing this. Allah is saying, you need to be sure that this is truth coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran 1400 years ago, the Arabs back then were ummatun ummiya, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the nation of Ummat Muhammad. The Arabs at that time were ummatun ummiya, illiterate nation, which means they could barely write and read. They could barely do that. However, they mastered the excellence of speech and the eloquency of speech. That was their talent. They could not read and write. They could not register their knowledge in written format to be given to the next generation. The only way they could do that is that just by speaking it out. And the only, in order to do that, they had to organize these thoughts in beautiful, beautiful melodic ways such as poetry. And that's why they mastered that. They mastered the Arabic language and the art of speaking and the beauty of structuring sentences and paragraphs in a way that hasn't been heard of before. So when the Quran came, surpassed all that level of eloquency that they have mastered themselves. It was very miraculous to them. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that this will be the last message. And the Quran was the first and the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the end of time. It has to survive the challenge of the time. And it has to survive all of this. And every single generation of the humankind, of the ummah, every single generation, they had very unique relationship with the Quran, with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that is extremely relevant to their time. Extremely relevant to their time. And when it comes to the scientific miracles of the Quran, This is something very new, again, in the history of Islam. It's just about maybe 100, 150 years ago when even Muslim scholars, they started extensively speaking about scientific miracles of the Quran. You find in some of the early tafsirs, were relatively, of course, they're modern tafsirs, aging about 100 years ago or so, when the ulama and Muslim scholars, when they write commentaries on the ayat, that has some sort of significance in science, they start bringing these as possible interpretation and meanings to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we understand them in the 20th and the 21st century today. Again, the Quran, our ulama, they told us hammal awjuh, which means the possibility for the Quran to carry that interpretation is there. It is always there because it has to survive the challenges of every single generation, every single time and era of human mankind. Now, some of the early ulama who tried to do that was Imam al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Imam al-Razi, he lived about 800 years ago. And Imam al-Razi, rahmatullah ta'ala, in his tafsir, he tried to use that extensively. However, many scholars of his time, they ran against him. They didn't like that type of tafsir, and they didn't want to subject the Quran to the human reason in that sense, though. But now time changes, and what once considered like a theory, many of them are becoming actually facts. They're becoming facts of science. So how should the ulama, and what are the options among the ulama to, in order to observe these now facts again of science? One of the early ulama, Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned one important thing, and this is considered like a major dabat, which means regulating the use of the scientific discoveries into the interpretation of the Quran. Said that truly, as a Muslim, you don't really need any kind of scientific, you know, theory or fact to prove the Quran as to be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's proven to be so for generations before the discovery of all these things right now. But what is possible today is that, is it true that the Quran, some of these ayat, can really be viewed through these now scientific discoveries, and I'm talking about the scientific facts. As an example for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاقِحَ فَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. And we have sent the fertilizing winds. لواقح means fertilizing, and it also not just fertilizing, it's just like pollinating. You know, that kind of sense of, or the scientific aspect of it, or at least the observation of it, was known to the Arabs at that time as well. But now, to what extent can we take that meaning? The early ulama, they said that the riyah, the winds, were sent at fertilizing factors right now and sent down water from the sky and giving you drink from it, and you are not its returners. You cannot return that water in your hands. It's in the, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The original tafsir of this ayah always speaks about the wind to fertilize, or at least pollinating, you know, the trees and the flowers. But now, new discoveries in science speaks that the wind is also actually is the cause of these the hot air and the cold air that causes moisture in the air again, and as the cloud starts building up and they start clashing, that's a form of fertilization as well. So when you bring the positive and the negative, and then it starts clashing, causing storms and causing also the rain to fall, that's what is the ayah speaking about here. فَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. It's because of these winds as they fertilize basically the clouds and causing now the negative and the positive as they clash, and it starts basically the phenomena of the rainstorms, and then the rain starts coming down. Is that possible that this ayah speaks about this scientific, you know, phenomena which was never known to the Arabs 1400 years ago? That is a possibility, and it's absolutely acceptable in that sense. However, what are the dawabit? How can we regulate that? Because we know some people in such a frenzy of, you know, trying to prove the Quran to be true in the 21st century, 20th and 21st century, they're trying to almost any even scientific theory that they find out there, they try to capture this and to say that, you see, we have something in the Quran about this. It's just like someone who works in a factory and being given a manual to check out whatever is in there. The engineers already know how these machines are functioning and operating. Someone who has the book, never been in that factory before, as they look into this, And then when the engineers explain to them, observe how the machine runs, then when you grab the manual, you say, yeah, that's amazing. It's there in the manual. Well, who sent that manual to you? Is the one who created all these phenomena. So when we see that in the Quran, we say, oh, subhanAllah, the Quran speaks about that. How come? Didn't he say, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ? Doesn't he know best? And he is the one who creates. He's al-latif, the most subtle, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's because he's the most subtle and he's the most knowledgeable, he knows exactly that that's how things run in this universe, in this creation. So how can we limit, of course, exploration again of science and the Quran without crossing the limits and sometimes forcing maybe wrong interpretation, wrong understanding of the Quran, or at least the scientific facts as they are presented in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like to share with you a few points, inshallah ta'ala. 6 points over here in order to regulate the understanding again of science and the Quran. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, are those who know equal to those who do not know? I'm asking you the question, are they both equal? Of course not. There is no doubt those who know, they're not similar, they're not equal to those who do not know. And we understand the meaning of this, the meaning of that is that we understand that the ayat, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the interpretation and the commentary on the Quran, it's as the ulama, they say, juhdun bashari. It's a human effort. So when the human effort is put in so many books of tafsir, such as Al-Qurtubi, Al-Tabari, Al-Ghazali, and others, when they put their tafsir down there, that doesn't mean it's sacred in that sense. So sometimes the interpretation of some of these verses and ayat might come at a later time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ نَبَأَهُ بَعْدَ حِينَ. And you will surely know the truth of its information after a time. That was given at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The context speaking about the Akhirah and the Day of Judgment and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the truth about the deen of Allah azza wa jal. And in conclusion of these ayat, Allah says, you shall know the true understanding, the true interpretation, the true meaning of it, after some time. That some time, generation after generation, we are developing this new understanding in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some of the ulama might try that, and they fall, they go wrong. And some others, they have the ilm and the knowledge, the proper knowledge that they required from them to make such interpretation or tafsir, and they get it right. So for their good, alhamdulillah, effort, they will have double the reward. And if they have it wrong, they will also be rewarded for just making the effort. Now, the thing we need to also realize based on this point is to differentiate between that which is considered a scientific fact and theory, or a theory. Many people, they get excited every time there's a new scientific discovery. They want to grab it and say, look, it's in the Quran. It's over here. Allah mentioned this 1400 years ago. Of course, it's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the creation of Allah azza wa jal. And it's not going to be different. However, our understanding of it, we should not be too excited about this. Otherwise, we might mix between that which is scientific fact or theory. And the ulama of our time even, they are divided into three groups regarding the position from these facts, or at least from science and the Quran. Some they say we should not include that at all. Others they say it's for sure has to be included. And there is the middle way, which is again to differentiate between that which has been already confirmed and that which is still considered a theory. For instance, when it comes to a scientific fact that the universe, the entire universe, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in constant change and expansion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this in the Quran, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. Allah azza wa jal says that, and the heaven we constructed with strength, and indeed we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمُوسِعُونَ, means making it in constant expansion. So it is mentioned in the Quran that it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This is a fact, and it should be considered and should be taken as a reality. Also, if you've ever been close to the meeting of the fresh water and the salt water, you will see a great miracle over there that will be mentioned in the Quran. This is observed to the eye, but the dynamics of it was not mentioned clearly, not understood clearly, until science discovered how things function there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخًا وَحِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it is He who has released simultaneously the two seas. And speaking about one fresh and sweet and one salty and bitter. And He placed between them a barrier and prohibiting partition. Now that was mentioned again 1400 years ago in regard to the concept of what, why the fresh water does not completely invade the salt water, and why not the salt water always completely invades the fresh water. So this is now a fact that was mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for some of these theories, and still not 100% like the final answer to the answer the question about the origin of this universe, is the Big Bang theory, for instance. And the ulama, they always cite the ayah, the qawlullahi tabaraka wa ta'ala, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Have those who disbelieve not considered that the heavens and the earth were joint entity, means they were one thing, and we separated them and made from water every living thing. That separation, the Big Bang theory basically, it's still under development, and it's one of the main interpretations, perhaps maybe a successful interpretation to the origin of the universe, still mentioned at least in the Quran. Is that what the ayah exactly is talking about? We cannot just make it like a final interpretation of the ayah or the Quran, but it can be taken in consideration as well. The second point, we need to understand as Muslims, the Quran came to present now the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator to the world, the creation. And therefore, it's wrong to try to find every single aspect in this life, like a menu basically, or like kind of, you would like to find it even in alphabetical order even, and everything in life in the Quran. You can't find that in that fashion. It's gonna have to be mentioned not in tiny details, but general concepts. And that also includes the concept of science. So some people, when they try to enforce specific interpretation, they curse what the ulama, they call layu a'naq al-nusus, like twisting the arm or the neck of that nas. You change the meaning of it. And in this case, once you change the meaning of the ayah, you make it basically void from its essence and the true meaning of the Quran. And the third point here, al-hikmah. What's the wisdom behind these verses of al-ijaz, verses of the miraculous nature of the Quran in terms of science? The hikmah and the wisdom is just to give indications to the world, to the people of that generation and that time. Again, that the Quran is always alive. In every single generation, people, they had something that they relate themselves to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every generation, mankind, they had something to relate themselves to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as we can see, sciences keep, every day we have something new coming up. Which means, as new things come up, perhaps we will see some new understanding of some of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on that. To what extent? We keep it moderate as much as possible. And Sheikh Yasir Qadi, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, will give, inshallah, an example on one of these cases that were mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You